Jesus. No regrets. And this morning, once again, I needed to bring my heart to Jesus and allow him to touch me. And thank you for this worship this morning. And I needed to be around my brothers and sisters, and that's you. It's great to worship with you and to just worship Jesus and share in the body of Christ this morning. So this morning in the church in North Street, I'm assuming there's some guests here, and you're welcome, obviously, of course. But for the church in North Street, this is another part of your story, isn't it? With Keegan coming on as a licensing and associate pastor. And it's a part of the Acts 29 story. Now, don't turn to Acts 29 because it's not in your Bible, but do turn to Acts 20 this morning because there's the, like to share from that this morning. But Acts is simply the story of people coming to Jesus, laying their burdens down, finding grace, forgiveness, coming into the body of Christ, and gathering together to be his church. And this, the book of Acts just unfolds this story. I heard someone say, you know, if there's two guys hanging out in the bar and one of them's a Christian and they start talking about Jesus at the bar, is that church? Or what if they just get together with some other friends and they hang out and they're talking about Jesus? Is that church? Well, actually, according to Acts, no. That would be fellowship. That could be witnessing. But what's happening here at North Street and the structure that is in place here with elders and gathering together that was set up many years ago, and you continue, is not something that Doug thought up on himself or someone else, but this comes straight from God's Word, because the story of the Bible is as Christians, people, followers of Jesus, gather together as believers, then there's a structure for the church, the New Testament church, that's given to us in the book of Acts, and you're a part of it. So Acts 29, Acts ends with 28, chapter 28, but it's a continuing story. You're a part of the greater story of God, through the power of his Holy Spirit, building the body of Christ, the church, in the earth today, including Kenya and all around the world. Isn't that neat? So we're a part of a bigger story this morning. So I'd like to for you to look at just a part of that story. And this morning in Acts chapter 20, in fact, let me just read a number of these verses, and then we'll start back at verse 17. So if you have your Bibles, devices, what I'd like to do this morning is just to be a bit more intentional of just working through these scriptures to help us understand a little part of the story. And this story has to do with Paul, the apostle, and then it has to do with the elders of Ephesus. And so it's a descriptive and account of the elders there, but it's also prescriptive for the church across the world, whether it be Kenya or Pennsylvania, Canton, or southern Pennsylvania, where I'm from, wherever. This is how God intended the church to operate. And then there's the third element in this story, and that's the flock. So the message today, it's about Paul, it's about the elders, and there's also about the flock. So that would include all of us here, unless you're not a follower of Jesus yet. You're searching. If you are, glad you're here. Hope that you make that decision to give your life to Jesus this morning. All right, let me read these verses. Follow along in your Bible's devices, starting at verse 17. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Gentiles that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I will only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardship are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I've never stopped warning each of you night and day. Then he goes on and talks a bit about that, but let's stop there. So what does this story in Acts have for you and I here this morning? So it begins with verse 17 there that we began reading. So Paul, you may not be familiar with this character Paul in the New Testament, where he was a devout Jew, and after Jesus died and rose again, and then he ascended to heaven, and the early believers in Jesus were gathered, and the Holy Spirit came on them with power, and many were converted, and that's where the New Testament church started. And Paul was the number one persecutor of this church against it. But I don't know, people were praying, and one day the Holy Spirit ambushed Paul, and he met Jesus face to face in a bright light, and his life was changed. He repented of his sins, he became a believer in Jesus, and he devoted his life to serve Jesus because he had that taste that even in the though he was incredibly evil, he said, "I was a chief of sinners." He tasted the grace of Jesus. He realized in a new way that Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." And his heart was drawn to that. He became convinced that this is a message that everyone should hear. Because there's so many broken, hurting people. They too deserve Jesus to be their shepherd. And so he devoted his life to telling people about Jesus. And he went city to city teaching about Jesus, telling the story, and many people believed. And in whatever city he went, as people believed, he gathered them into a church, an assembly. It's estimated that, Bible doesn't tell us that, but historians that maybe 15 to 20 churches that Paul planted in different cities as he went. And those churches began to plant churches and go out and tell the gospel story. And that's how you and I were fortunate enough to hear the gospel story. Isn't that amazing? Just the progression. People telling people. Churches coming together. Now, in this verse here, Paul was on his way to Rome, and he called for the elders of the church in Ephesus because he wanted to talk to them. He had been there for a number of years. He had learned to know them. And so he had a final message for them, and he sent for them. It doesn't say why, but it's roughly 40 miles. So I thought it was interesting. It's about 40 miles to Williamsport from here, right? So he called for the elders in Williamsport, come up by foot likely, or maybe they sail, I don't know. And they met with Paul, and There's throughout the scriptures in the New Testament and Acts just this model of wherever Paul planted churches, there they appointed elders, leaders to lead the flock. And it's a clear New Testament model. And the Bible, the New Testament Acts, it talks about bishops, it talks about overseers, it talks about elders, pastors. And all those words pretty much mean the same thing. So there's a clear leadership model of elders, whether you call them bishops or pastors or overseers. They're men who are called to give leadership to the church. Nowhere in the New Testament is there an example of one man, but it's always plural. It's interesting, isn't it? Several or more, two or more men called to lead the church, with a clear goal to lead the assembly, the church, to grow into Christian maturity, to be faithful followers of Jesus. It's a real simple model, isn't it? So that's what Doug initiated here at Canton years ago, and Darren came, and they continue that model of calling elders from the church to lead the congregation. So now when they arrived, Paul in verse 18 there, he gives us an example of an elder. He said, follow in 1 Corinthians 11, he says, follow me as I follow Christ. So here's Paul's example to the as an elder. I lived the whole time with you. So he devoted his life to be a part of the church there. And notice that verse, great humility. It wasn't about Paul, was it? It was about Jesus. With tears, severe testing, he was totally focused not on building his own empire, but on building Jesus Christ and encouraging people to follow him. Tears, endurance. What an example of what an elder should be. No fear of man. The fear of man is a snare. So he preached boldly, clearly. He didn't hold back anything that would be helpful. Taught you publicly, taught you house to house, teaching God's word. And he had one message, and it was Jesus. Turn to God in repentance. Turn away from your sin. Have faith in Jesus Christ, the gospel message. We're sinners. We need to turn from our sin and believe, have trust, faith in Jesus Christ, that he believed that he died on the cross, forgave your sins, rose again so that you could have new life. And you. So that's the, we have the church has one message. This has been our message for 2,000 plus years. It's the same message at North Street as it is in Oakdale, in Salisbury, Pennsylvania, or in Kenya, or wherever the church gathers. It's one message. It's Jesus. And so he then goes on and talks about that he's going on his way to Jerusalem, and the Holy Spirit revealed to him that he was going to face some hard times. He was facing prison and hardship. He knew that going into it, but it didn't. He didn't waver one bit. What courage, what an example of dedication, of faithfulness. And that's exactly what happened to Paul. He did go to Jerusalem. He did face prison. And he was eventually executed there, martyred for his faith. And he says, I don't consider my life worth anything. It's just, I want to be faithful. I want to be faithful to Jesus. I want to be faithful to the work that God has called me to. Nothing is more important than just to be faithful in serving Jesus. The task of testifying the good news of God's grace, the gospel. Nothing is more important than sharing this gospel with other people, living it and sharing it. It's a great example for us. He's giving his farewell. He says, I'm innocent. I've not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. The Bible says that those who teach are held to a higher standard. They're accountable for what they teach. That's a sobering text, isn't it, Darren? And the rest of us who teach. It's very sobering.
So we need to be diligent. We need to be faithful to proclaim the whole will of God, the scriptures as we understand it together as a church. And then he gives this special word to the elders. Keep watch over yourselves and the flock, which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. And again, that word overseer there, those words seem to be used interchangeably in the New Testament. Pastor, elder, overseer. Be shepherds of the flock. So for a man to be called as an elder, I was glad that, I just lost your name, Todd, thank you, read those scriptures this morning, the qualifications for an elder. We can never lose sight of those. We need to keep coming back to those. We elders and you as a church, this is a standard that God has called men who serve as elders to meet. It's a serious responsibility that we are to be keeping watch over ourselves. Just a simple summary of the qualifications. What to be an elder, you have to, the Bible talks about he that desires to do the work of an overseer desires a noble task. It's a worthy desire. I think it's a God-given desire. So I talked with Keegan just briefly last night and about how God has given him this desire to be a shepherd, an elder. And it's kind of a mysterious thing. When someone says, I just want to preach, that scares me, actually, because we can preach out of selfish motives, can't we? We can be in it for ourselves. But when God gives you the desire to bring the gospel to as many people as possible, I want to devote my life. Now, all of us are called to do that, certainly. But God lays his calling on men, calling them to be an elder, to be a shepherd of the flock. And then to exemplify the godly character, to be able to teach, not necessarily just to preach, but to be able to be a student of God's Word, to study God's Word, to understand the Scriptures, and be able to communicate that, share that with others in different contexts, including the pulpit, but not limited to that, and to lead their family well. So we need to keep watch over ourselves as elders. And it's a good work. And so the elders here are doing that, and you as a church are helping them. It's a part of the model that God has called us to. Now that the flock that's under your care, so we as elders, the New Testament model is that we are under shepherds. Jesus, let me reference this Psalm 23 again, the Lord is my shepherd. It's a very personal thing for each of us who are followers of Jesus. You need to just continually bring your heart to Jesus to experience his love and care as the good shepherd. But as we come together as brothers and sisters, assembly, and church, then there's a lot of life is difficult. And how do we understand the Bible and how do we live it? And so God has called elders to be under-shepherds, to shepherd the flock under Jesus Christ, to care for them, to nourish them, to teach them, all for the purpose of so that you can grow in Christian maturity, be a faithful follower of Jesus, and live out your calling. Sometimes I think we get the model, the business model, confused with the New Testament model. The elders are not board members. Huh? They're not. This isn't the New Testament is not a corporate model where you appoint elders to keep Darren in line. No, that's not the model at all. But the model is that God calls elders to lead the church, and it's a team effort. It's plural. Now we have here at Canton, as typical, you have Darren, who's a full-time elder. You have some part-time elders, you call them pastors, that's okay, that word can be used interchangeably. And then you have some volunteer elders who work full-time jobs other places, but God has called them, you've called them, and they serve the church here as elders. The qualifications for those elders are no different than the qualifications for Darren, a full-time elder here. Does that make sense? Maybe this will help. Imagine that your house, you wake up and your house is on fire, and you call 911, and the firefighters come, and as they're coming in your driveway, you would never think of saying, now, are you a full-time firefighter or are you a volunteer? Right? You wouldn't do that. I don't want any volunteers fighting my fire. In some way, there's a parallel there, isn't there? Because to be an elder, there's qualifications. To be a firefighter, you have to go through training. You have to meet these qualifications. After you meet those qualifications and training, doesn't matter if you're a volunteer or full-time. You're there to fight the fire. I like that analogy with how God has called elders and how North Street functions here with full-time elder, volunteer elders, all elders called to lead the church. And with the benefit of the plurality of elders, many of you would be familiar with a multi-function tool like a Leatherman you stick in your belt, and when you're out and about and you have many different tools at your disposal. And in some ways, that's a parallel to the elders, where the gifts come together, and each elder has different gifts, and they function together for the health of the church. So that's a brief, very brief picture of the leadership that God calls for the church, the New Testament model. Now, it's interesting that Paul goes on, and even in this verse, it talks about the flock, which is all of us. The flock, which is the Holy Spirit has called elders to, bought with his own blood. Now, what he says about the flock is that after I leave, savage wolves will come in and will not spare the flock. There's an incredible danger out there that the flock, the church, is always under threat. We're always at risk. There's the song, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. There's a danger of our own hearts being led astray, being the falling into temptation, wandering, getting sidetracked from following Christ. And then there's the Bible, New Testament talks a lot about false teachers and who are distorting God's word, will not spare the flock, even from your own number, so even within the church. So there's this constant need and call to be on guard. And the way that you're on guard is this, the way that the church, New Testament, has structured that is you have elders. You have elders who are specially called to watch out, to discern, to care, to be alert for danger, for wolves. They have a special gifting and calling to do that. And so it's not exactly in this passage, but throughout the New Testament, in order for the elders to care for the flock has to, what? Has to respect the elders, has to esteem them, has to allow them to be an elder. So nowhere in the New Testament is there this example of, well, I'm a Christian. I follow Jesus. I don't need to be a part of a local body. I don't need, you know, you hear that in our culture, don't you? Maybe you've thought that. That's not from the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit calls us into the body of Christ in local congregations, and then we submit to one another. We love each other under the leadership of elders. Now, let me just read some one example. There's many examples. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul is writing to the church there, and he says, talking about Jesus Christ, he died for us. that whether we're awake or asleep, we may live together with him in his body. And then he says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. That's church. That's what we do. Encourage each other, build each other up. I'm reading from 1 Thessalonians 5. And then he says in verse 12, now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. You hear that? Respect those. Now, Darren didn't ask me to share this. I'm not sharing this because I heard that there's a problem here in North Street. In fact, I've heard the opposite. So my word to you this morning is thank you. Thank you for respecting and honoring your elders. And continue to do that. Verse 13, hold them in highest regard, in love, because of their work. Respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, who admonish you. Hold them in highest regard. Thank you for doing that. And continue to do that. Now there's the danger. First Peter talks about to the elders, about be shepherds of God's flock, serving as overseers, not lording it over them. There's always that danger. So there's that tension that we need to help each other to find a balance. Now, let me come back to one more story that Jesus said. And this is a story, you've likely heard it in Acts, Luke 15, where Jesus said there was a shepherd and he had 99 sheep in his fold, but one was lost. Maybe you know that song. One was lost. And the shepherd said, I need to leave those 99. I need to go out and find that one lost sheep that was lost. It's the heart of God to find those lost sheep. That lost sheep was me. And in some way, it's still me. So quickly, my heart can wander away. I'm so thankful that Jesus just draws me back to him. And he does the same for you. You were once that lost sheep, and if you've given your heart to Jesus, you've come into the fold, but so quickly we can leave. And so he brings that back. The heart of Jesus is to bring his sheep into his fold. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not. And the way Jesus does that is through bringing believers together in a church, in a community. And then he has under-shepherds to nurture, to feed, so that we together, you, can live in the blessing of the good shepherd. That's church. That's our work. That's what we're doing here. And thank you for being a part of it. And let me pray for you right now. Father, I pray that as we think about this passage and just personally, each of us here, that so desperately we need you as our shepherd. Our hearts are prone to wander. There's wolves out there. There's distractions, our own brokenness. And so Jesus, come right now and just touch each person's heart here this morning. And if you have wondered or you're struggling this morning, or you've never received Jesus, just open your heart to him. Jesus, today, this morning, for the first time, or maybe once again, I open my heart to you. I repent. I believe. Thank you for being my good shepherd. And thank you for calling us into community that we can be together as your flock. Amen. So now in the calling of elders to serve the church, kind of giving a summary of that New Testament teaching. So in the last months, you as a congregation have discerned the need for youth pastor, associate pastor. You've recognized Keegan Wright in your midst that seems to have a calling from the Lord to serve as an elder. You've process that, you've discerned, you've extended a call to Keegan to serve as a pastor elder here. You have, Keegan has, along with his wife Charity, he's processed and agreed a sense that, yes, this is a calling on my life. And then because North Street is a part of a larger network of churches for support and accountability, CMC, Keegan submitted his theological questionnaire that was reviewed, and CMC gave permission to North Street to call Keegan to serve as an elder here. So there's been quite a process up until this point now. And the credentials, ministerial credentials, are simply a way to put a stamp of approval on Keegan, that he's not just a lone ranger out there. Yes, I'm a minister, I'm a preacher. It's not just so North Street can do their own thing, but we're all accountable to a larger body of Christ. This morning we'll be licensing Keegan, and that's simply a time of testing the call, discernment, and if the Lord continues to, you sense a calling on Keegan's life, then you as a church will request that Keegan at some point in the future be ordained to a lifelong calling of being a minister of the gospel. So the Lord, we believe, through the church here, has called Keegan to serve as a minister of the word. So I'd like to invite him and Charity to come forward, and I've asked Keegan to share a bit, and then we'll go on with the ceremony.
Good morning, church. It's just very, very humbling to be here with you all this morning, and to have been able to serve with you and to serve you over the past years. About two years ago, as we started to process this this call of moving up here and serving more and as the Lord calls us in greater capacity as pastors, it was a journey, and you have all been very just gracious in walking with us. 2 years ago, just a brief recap, I was washing dishes, and it felt like the Lord said, hey, I want you to move up to Canton. We were living in Williamsport at the time. I was going to school for nursing. I was about 2 years through a four-year program, and felt the Lord calling us to leave that behind, to sell our house in Williamsport, to leave the college, and to move up here to do life with you, to serve you, and to follow the calling of the Lord. And all of that, all those details, selling the house and dropping out of college, it took 2 years, and it was a lot of processing, a lot of challenges came up, but we count all that as nothing. Like, that was the Lord called us, and we count that as nothing as long as we were faithful in answering that call to be here to do life with you guys, to share your burdens. I chose that song because I felt like the Lord has, he said to me countless times in my life, you're carrying burdens that I don't want you to carry, that you're trying to be your own righteousness, or that you aren't trusting in my righteousness and you're trying to go to something else that will sustain you, and I intended to sustain you. And so I carry those burdens, and the Lord says, you can lay those burdens down. He says, you can lay them at my feet. I paid for that. I died on the cross for you and for all of us. And I've received that, and it's given me so much freedom. There's times I still slip up and try to carry that burden, and Jesus calls, and he says, come and lay that burden down. And we all do that. We pick up those burdens, those things the Lord never intended us to carry on our own. And we pick them up, and the Lord says, lay them back down at my feet. And so that's our heart for you. We want to be here in Canton with you to share those burdens with you as we walk with those burdens and lay them at the feet of Jesus. I love how the Spirit moves and works and speaks to us, because Scripture, I had a little Scripture I wanted to share, and it was what Ben shared at the beginning of the service today. But I wanted to share one verse before what he shared, so I'm going to read this again in Matthew 11, starting in 27. It says, all things have been delivered to me, this is Jesus speaking, by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That freedom, that light burden comes from knowing the Father and from knowing Jesus, from Jesus revealing himself and the Father to us. And so my desire for my life, my family's life, is to know Jesus more, to understand how deep and wide and how strong and how great the love of Christ is for us, and to share that with all of you as we receive that, just to walk in that love that Christ has for us, that we can lay that burden down at his feet. As we keep on trying to pick up that burden, Christ says, no, you can lay that burden at our feet. Even when we're trying to do things on our own, when we're walking our own way and turning our backs on Christ, he says, no, come and lay your burden down. He's calling us no matter how big of a mess we're in. That's the beauty of the gospel, the good news of Jesus. He didn't wait for us to clean ourselves up and come to him. He came to us in our mess when the righteous people were looking down on those who weren't following the law that God had set. And for those who weren't following the law, who were suffering from sin, Jesus came in the middle of that mess, and he said, you can lay those burdens down. I feel the Lord has called Charity and I to come here to serve you, to walk along with you as we start to pick up those burdens, to lay them down at Jesus' feet. It's humbling, and we just thank you for your affirmation and for walking with us through this journey.
Amen. Thanks. I think the boys called to preach, huh? Wonderful. Thanks for sharing that. You've heard that the gospel in a nutshell is John 3:16. You've heard that? There's some truth to that, but I think what you just shared, that text in Matthew, is the gospel. Hang on to that. Darren, why don't you come up? What we'll be doing this morning is asking Keegan and then Charity a few questions, and not only licensing him as a minister of the gospel, but also installing as a pastor, associate pastor here at North Street under the a little part of the team with Darren and the elders. So, first to you, Keegan. Do you accept this call to serve in the Christian ministry as a call from the Lord? And are you willing to serve as a licensed minister in this congregation for a period of 2 years? Will you, by the grace of God and the aid of the Holy Spirit, give yourself to the work of a Christian minister by faithfully teaching and preaching the Word of God? And do you commit yourself to serve during the term of this license in the ministry of the Word in the North Street congregation in cooperation with the leadership of this congregation? Now, Charity, this is a part of your life too, isn't it? It's a big part of your life. And so one question for you. Do you accept your husband's call to this ministry, and are you willing, by God's grace and the aid of the Holy Spirit, to support him in this ministry by living a faithful Christian life, by counsel, by encouraging him to be loyal to the Scriptures? So I invite you to kneel. You could just kneel right here, and Darren, if you come up and... So what we're doing now is giving Keegan the charge from the Scriptures through the laying on of hands. In the name of Christ and his church, in behalf of this congregation and CMC, and in response to the confession and promises which you have made in the presence of God and these witnesses, this license constitutes a charge to you to serve as a minister of the gospel. Preach and teach the Word of God in its purity and strength, and as called upon, administer the ordinances of the church. Nurture the believers and call sinners to repentance. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourselves and your hearers. May God, who has called you to this ministry, anoint you with the Holy Spirit. Give you the gifts from His Spirit, grace, wisdom, and bless you in all things through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, part of this ceremony this morning is the installation as an associate pastor here at North Street. So, again, a question: it has pleased God through the leading of His Holy Spirit to call Keegan Wright to the North Street Community Church as an associate pastor. So, Keegan, do you believe that God has called you through the church to serve as an associate pastor here? And are you willing to accept this assignment to serve by God's grace according to the scriptures, faithful to the congregation and CMC? And Charity, one question for you. Do you believe that God has called your husband through the church to serve as an associate pastor of this congregation? And are you willing to support him in this work and calling? Okay. Now, I invite you as a congregation to respond to Keegan's call here. And there's a slide here with a reading. And even if you're a guest here and your heart is with us here, with the church here, I invite you to stand and give this response back to Keegan and Charity. Altogether, we as North Street Community Church receive you to serve as our associate pastor. We commit to support you in prayer, to be open to receive and give counsel, and walk together in brotherly love in behalf of the church and for God's glory. McKeegan, in recognition of the congregation's call to you and your acceptance of the call, we hereby charge you with the responsibilities of an associate pastor of North Street Community Church. May God grant you grace, wisdom, and love to faithfully discharge your responsibilities and to serve effectively for the welfare of the congregation. Now, we'd like to pray, and at this time, I'd like to invite the elders that are here and their spouses, any family, parents, grandparents, and any other ministers, Doug and Leona and others who may be here, just to come up. We're going to gather around Keegan and Charity and pray for them. If you're comfortable standing, remain standing. If you're not, then you're certainly welcome to be seated. After this prayer, Darren will be leading in prayer. There'll be a song, and after that song, I invite you to come forward to greet Keegan and Charity.
Father, we are so grateful this morning that you bought your church with the blood of Jesus. And you've invited each of us to be a part of your church. And as Joe shared this morning from your word, we understand your purpose for the church and your structure for the church. So God, right now, we pray the anointing of your Spirit over Keegan and Charity. We praise you for the gifts that you've given them, for the good of your church, for the building up of your kingdom. God, I pray that your Spirit would always direct them in everything that they do, in the use of their gifts, that they would not be for selfish gain, but for your glory. God, I pray that you continue to grow them in those gifts, to grow them in their trust for you, trust in the things that you've called them to, trust in the paths that they walk on. God, I pray that you would lead them in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. That you would protect them. You would protect their children. God, that they would rightly divide the word of God and rightly divide their time and attentions for each other, for their children, for the church, for the community. And God, I just pray that you would bring that into a beautiful mixture that we almost couldn't tell the difference. So Lord, we entrust Keegan and Charity to you. We recognize their calling to give leadership, to invite each of us to continue to lay down our burdens. God, I thank you for the plurality of elders here at North Street that has embraced Kegan, for the church here that has embraced Kegan and charity. God, that we can continue together to be your body, to represent you well, to be a beacon of light and life in Canton, Pennsylvania. Father, we all love this young couple, but you loved them the most. You gave the most for them. And as they serve you, may they never forget that. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus, and God's people said, Amen.